Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In John chapter 21, Jesus is now emphasizing to Peter the high cost of discipleship. And by the way, this is not the first time that Christ has said anything like this to his disciples. He's actually stated this in many different ways, on many different occasions, all throughout his earthly ministry. And these are some of the most solemn and searching words of Christ to be found anywhere. The ones where he talks about what the cost of discipleship will be. And it's always a very high cost. However, the rewards always exceed the cost. But don't let anyone ever think that being a follower of Jesus Christ will not cost you anything. Salvation? Free. Justification? Provided by God as a gift to all who believe in Christ. Because there's no way that we are capable of meriting justification for ourselves. The only way we could ever be justified before God is by God's imputed righteousness in Jesus Christ. So, on the one hand, justification is a free gift so that God gets all the glory, and it's a free gift because that's the only way that a fallen son of Adam could ever be justified. We are incapable of earning the righteousness that leads to eternal life. It's just impossible with us. But don't confuse the freeness of salvation with the costliness of discipleship, because both are true. And don't make the mistake in trying to wrestle with this seeming paradox. Don't make the mistake of separating salvation from discipleship, as if salvation is one thing totally unconnected to discipleship. That it is possible to be a believer in Jesus Christ without being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's possible to be justified and not to become a disciple. That's a common misconception in our day, but the fact of the matter is, the Bible joins the two together. Everyone who trusts Jesus Christ for salvation also becomes, thereby, a follower of Christ, that is, a disciple of Christ. And all true Christians are disciples, and discipleship is costly. And that's what Jesus is saying to Peter in John 21:18. And that's what we're looking at on this Thursday, August 26, Beacon Broadcast. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Kind of the wooden language of the King James Bible there, but you get the idea. And in this solemn declaration, first of all, Jesus reminds Peter that in his past, in his youth, he was strong and vigorous, and he could do everything virtually he wanted to do from a physical standpoint. He had physical ability and freedom and health and opportunity and lack of restraint, but Jesus is saying your future holds out a very different prospect. That's the way it was in your youth, but let me tell you what it's going to be like later on. Let me tell you what it's going to be like when you are old. Let me tell you what it's going to be like down the road. And what is it going to be like, Jesus? Well, you shall stretch forth your hands. which actually is a gesture of weakness, of desire, someone else to help. You're going to have to signal for others to help you. And another shall gird you, that is, dress you. And someone else will carry you where you do not desire. That could either be a reference to physical weakness and infirmity or to forced removal. And John's commentary on Christ's words tells us that this is actually referring to Peter's death. This he spake, we read in verse 19, signifying by what death he should glorify God. What death? That is, what manner of death? So these words, though they could be a description of failing strength, and probably do have some reference to that, speak more directly of formal confinement, forced removal, and eventual execution. In other words, Peter, the day's coming when you will be confined and bound and restrained and carried to your execution unwillingly, and you will be put to death because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You will have others to dress you because your hands will be bound. You will have others prepare you for execution. Someone else shall gird you, tying a rope around your waist. When you were young, you could tie your own sash around your waist, but now somebody else is going to tie a rope around your waist and lead you to execution. And they will stretch, you will stretch forth your hands, which was a fairly common phrase in classical Greek that referred to execution, to stretch one's hands apart to be nailed to the cross. Now the question is, how did John know that that's what Jesus was talking about? Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you," and I'll kind of paraphrase and interpret these words of Christ now, "you dressed yourself. You went wherever you wanted to. But when you are old, when you shall be old, you will stretch forth your hands in weakness, and another will dress you and will take you where you don't want to go." And John says in verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." And the question is, how did John know that that's what Jesus was talking about here? Did he know this by personal understanding because he lived to see it happen? Or did he know it by divine revelation? Well, we're not sure, because we're not sure exactly when John's gospel was written, but we do think it's one of the last of the gospels to be written. And tradition tells us that Peter was executed by Nero in AD 64 by crucifixion. And some say crucified upside down, though there's little historical evidence for this, but that is the tradition, that Peter said he wasn't worthy of dying the way his Lord did, and so he requested that he be executed or crucified rather upside down. Maybe so, maybe not. We do know how traditions sometimes tend to take on a life of their own and grow and be embellished. But there is probably little question that Peter did die under the reign of Nero, and he died by crucifixion. How long did Peter live to serve Christ? Probably about 35 years or so. How long did Peter know that he would eventually die a violent death? Well, about 35 years or so. He knew that. And yet he served the Lord faithfully, lovingly, obediently, with great commitment. But he knew all the while that he was serving the Lord. He knew on the day that he preached at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. He knew throughout his ministry, during times when he was confined, he wondered, no doubt. You read about him being put in prison at least on two occasions in the book of Acts. And one of those times, in fact, both those times, he was released. But both times he was put in prison, I'm sure he wondered, is this the end? Is this the prophecy of Christ coming true at this time in my life. And all of his life he had this knowledge hanging over his head that eventually he was going to die a violent death as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And yet, he served the Lord. Now, the fact is that most of us have no idea how we're going to die. I'd say virtually none of us know how we're going to die. We don't know the day of our death. We don't know the manner of our dying. We just don't know. Will I die by accident, automobile accident, or some other accident, plane accident? Who knows? Who knows? Will I die by some difficult and painful disease? Who knows? Some of you may know that because some of you may now have a terminal illness, and unless something very unexpected takes place, a miraculous cure, or some strange accident that takes you out of this world in an unexpected way, you know how you're going to die. You're going to die of the disease that you have right now. But maybe not. Maybe you'll have a heart attack. That happened recently to some relatives in our church, a man who had Lou Gehrig's disease, a disease that does slowly, slowly take your life out. I've seen people die with that disease in a matter of short years, and I've seen people die with that disease with carrying that disease stretched out over as many as 20 years. Quite remarkable that it would happen that long. But in either case, it is a very slow way to die when the life is just little by little taken away from you. But this particular man who had that disease, and I'm sure expected to die of it, had a heart attack and died very unexpectedly. We really don't know, do we? But Peter did, and that's what I'm trying to say. It was unusual. Most of us really don't know how we're going to die or when we're going to die, so we need to be ready. And we need to be serving the Lord faithfully. This could be my last day upon earth. And we really should keep that in mind and live every day as if it could be our last, because it could be. And if we live every day as if it were our last day upon the earth, then we'll have no regrets when that day comes. If it is 40, 50, 60 years away, we'll be glad that we lived every one of those days as if it might be our last day upon the earth, and therefore ought to be lived to the utmost for the glory of Christ. We don't know. Peter didn't know when, only that he was going to be old and die a painful death, a violent death. And he served the Lord faithfully all the while, knowing that the cost of serving Christ faithfully would be violent death, execution. And he served the Lord gladly. He knew something of the cost of discipleship, and he gladly paid the cost. What an example. But that's the way we ought to all live. We ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the one who gave his life for us. Are you that willing? Do you live that way? May God help you to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.